This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks. Today we have Jared Freed on the podcast. He is a stand-up comedian with a focus on the realities of dating and relationships. He's also the co-host of the You Up podcast, co-host of the Bachelor podcast, and host of the J Train podcast, and has a hysterical and relatable Instagram presence. We're so excited for you to hear this episode where we talk all about ghosting, first dates, expectations in relationships, dating app fatigue, and sex. Tune in to have a laugh and hear what he thinks about the phrase, if he wanted to, he would. And also, in full disclosure, there's part of this convo that gets a little vulgar. So if that's not for you, that's totally fine. Take what works and leave the rest.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the therapy group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. We are thrilled, Jared, to have you here today.
Thank you for coming on.
A man of good words, good comedy, and some good relationship advice. So we have
tried my best.
Right, we have some great questions for you today. We're gonna do. Let's do the episode in kind of a fun way, because we got a ton of questions in from a lot of women that want to figure this shit out.
From a man's perspective.
From a man's perspective, right?
This is the role I have somehow found myself in. I am the leading expert in talking out of my ass when it comes to dating. So
how do you think that you developed that role?
Well, I think, and I do a couple podcasts, and the You Up podcast has been an amazing experience, both for learning and just enjoying interacting with the audience and their dating, issues and questions and commiseration. I say it's a commiseration because I am not an expert. Nobody's an expert. And if they're telling you they're an expert, they're trying to sell you something. Okay. I'll make my money from the sponsors that pay me. You enjoy the show and I'll be as honest as possible. Here's the thing about me. I am very much like, I'm a fine looking guy. I'm not going to like lie to you and think that I'm an ugly person. I am the center part of the bell curve. I am closer to the guy you're dating than I am farther away. So I'm 10% away from anyone you're seeing. I'm your cousin, your brother, the guy you dumped, the guy who dumped you, your college boyfriend, your guy you saw in your 20s, the guy you're talking to on Hinge in your 30s. So I'm very much somewhat, I'm not 100% away from the guy you're talking to, but I'm not more, I'm around 10% away. So my opinion and how I talk about things is just from my personal experience and I try to be as honest as humanly possible while also being palatable. And I understand, and that's kind of what I've learned over the years of talking about dating as a straight dude, is that the more and more women started listening to the You Up podcast and what I put out there, and I understand that it is, to a lot of people, it's serious business. This is the hardest thing in their life. Everything else is figured out and they can't figure out this one thing. And to a lot of the men that talk about dating, and I think I've been guilty of this, is like, dating is fun and games for a lot of guys. Like, this ain't business to them. You're at a business meeting and they're at drinks. So, I'm making a lot of generalizations. I understand, and anyone can have fun on a date, but I'm saying, the social stuff, and this is like, when you get into societal stuff, like the things I have to deal with. I just got out of a relationship and it was very sad for me, but nobody was, I didn't have Shiva calls. Like I, you know, for the Jews listening, I didn't, you know, there was no, you know, the friends didn't come over and bring wine over and cry. It wasn't that. It was, you know, there was a couple of, downloading the apps. Has it been fun? You know, like that's a very different society than women have to deal with. And I've only learned that through the podcast, like from reading the hundreds of emails we get every week. So that's kind of where I come in, is try and talk about an icky subject that I think is funny and fun, that in a palatable way for someone that it might be hard to hear some of these truths. So that's kind of where I come in.
I love that. Question for you, just jumping off that.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been helpful for your guy friends to come over, bring you some wine? You watch a movie together.
What would you have liked?
See, I don't know. I don't know, but I think sometimes what I've seen from the other side is sometimes some women seem to bathe in that a little too much. Or they're looking for that in every situation. Listen, there's heartbreaking breakups, but then there's also just like regular breakups that they're doing that and kind of trying to make someone a villain that maybe just was not your match. So it's like, you know, there's a gray area sliding scale for everything. You know, I did talk it over with good friends of mine, my breakup, and it helped me to feel less crazy, and it helped me to like kind of adjust. But I think that can go... it can go over the edge sometimes. Like, you know, in, I do a podcast called The Bachelor. We talk about The Bachelor. Like this past, on the premiere of The Bachelor, Michelle is referring to, Michelle, who I thought was fantastic, she refers to a guy not talking to her, stopping talking to her on DM as ghosting. And it's like, when you do that, when you call, is everything ghosting or is one specific thing ghosting? Like, what is ghosting? Is ghosting going out for dinner with someone that you never call or text again? If that's ghosting, I've been ghosting my mom for 3 months. So, like,
that's just being Jewish. And avoiding your mother. Okay.
So I'm saying, like, there's a world where these things get too much. So we have to figure out the, you know, where the middle is.
Well, I love that because, right, so as licensed couples therapists, this is the shit we talk about all day long.
Yes.
But something you're talking about, which I think is really interesting, is the stories we tell ourselves, right? And, like, it's really interesting how people, like, cling on to terms. Like, you're talking about with ghosting. I hear it with gaslighting. Everyone's getting gaslit these days, right? Like, that's not really what it is. So I think therapeutic terms become, like, mainstream, and then everyone just uses them the time. And then you're just telling yourself a story about how everyone's horrible and men are so bad.
Yes.
And, like, we're not really looking at ourselves when we do that, right?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I apologize,
but no,
what you're saying is very important because it also involves the internet. The internet is going to jump on this, you know, buzzy term to make, you know, internet loves victim and villains. They love that. And nobody ever retweets something that's a meh statement. No one retweets he wasn't the match. They do retweet this fucking asshole was a piece of shit. You know what I mean? And listen, there are pieces of shit out there. And to me, that softens those pieces of shit if you call everyone a piece of shit. So, we live in a world where we need villains. We need to right and wrong. Sometimes it just didn't work out, you know. And that's really, those are the hardest breakups of them all. Like walking in on someone having sex with someone else. That's an easy. Yeah, 1 + 1 = 2 right there. You know, you fuck that and I am out. You know, I think a lot of us need, you know, that convincing that we're not leaving a good hand unplayed. And we want to make sure that our decisions are correct. And it's like, that's not how it works all the time. Yeah. Like, listen, like the one that got away, they say, exists more for men than it does for women, because men are generally like okay with letting good things go away to find some sort of ghost. I think like that, you know, that also happens because a lot of men that I know, when it comes to an ex, they go, they're great, they're great, they're great. I just want them to be happy. You know, like they don't vilify. So then they go, maybe I should have gone back to that, you know. So it all relates, but I do think what we're talking about with like these buzz terms, it is a way to make people join you and bathe you in the love that maybe this person left behind.
Yeah. Well, I wonder too, you know, if you're thinking about villains and how you go into getting really pissed off and saying, you know, like, that guy's an asshole.
That fuck
there's,
him.
Fuck him. There's something about the anger that feels more powerful than being able to sit in the grief. Like, the
That's grief worse. Of I have no control over
the
grief.
Rejection of it is so vulnerable and so painful that I think sometimes it just feels so much more powerful for us, and it's a way in which we cope to be able to say, like, that guy's a fucking asshole. You know, like, even if they weren't, you know, it was just the pain of it. And I think maybe that's a way that we try to heal.
And human beings are so much more complex than good or bad, right?
Totally. Like, we're all fine.
We're all right. Somewhere
in the
middle.
None of us are even that good, right? Like, and like, we talk about that a lot with women. It's like, sometimes you have to detach from that goodness, right? Because if you keep being the good, nice one, everyone, what do you think is going to happen, right? Like, why are we so attached to these terms? How much power do they give us? But we have so many freaking questions. So let's start with the best one then, because one of the top questions: why do men ghost? Also, women ghost all the time. Everyone ghosts. So let's talk about it.
Well, I would say it's directly related to something you just said. This, you know, if you make, there's a cause and effect to everything. Guys are obsessed with being the quote unquote good guy. And why are they obsessed with that? Well, they've been made the evil guy at some point. I'm not saying they weren't, but I'm not apologizing for that. But I'm saying we have to believe. I believe in gravity. What goes up must come down. There has to be a reason for everything. So if you're made the evil person, you're just like, how do I sidestep being called evil? Oh, I'll just disappear. You know, so it's like,
really works out great. I'm
just going to avoid this completely.
If every breakup is me ruining someone's life, why don't I just not do that? So that's one reason. I would say ghosting in general happens because it is, and we, again, I don't know what this person's definition of ghosting. I think definition of buzz terms is a big problem in dating. The biggest problem is two people are like, we're casual. And to one person, casual means we hang out once a week. And the other person, casual means I text you whenever I want to come. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so those are two people who are both right, but they haven't discussed what that definition is. So if this person's phrase of ghosting is that that person had sex with them and never spoke to them again, I would say the people ghost because they're afraid. One, they're afraid to, like, say to someone, hey, I was there for sex and that was it for me. Also, they're afraid to be like, I come to terms with how I meet someone via sex and interpersonal stuff. Sex was great. Interpersonally, I think I could find a better match. That's a hard thing to say to someone. Mm-hmm. Then the other reason they're ghosting is because sometimes it's like, I don't even know if this should be a breakup or not. You know, ghosting is like the conundrum is, That's a two-way street. That's someone who doesn't want to dump, and another person doesn't want to hear they've been dumped, because you can always text the person, hey, where have you been? What's going on? I feel really upset that we had sex or we went on that date and you never texted again. It really hurts my feelings. They can then get an answer that they don't want to hear. So, like, I think it's a tough thing because it's like dumping feels like a too big a term. But we don't have, like, what's the smaller version of that? We don't have that. So it is a person. And also, ghosting is about the person, not the other person across the table. It's about the person, you know, feeling anxious and not sure what to say. It's not about you. It's not personal, even though it feels personal.
So, Jared, besides your mother, have you ever ghosted anyone?
I've ghosted. It doesn't feel good. It was because I was afraid. I didn't know how to communicate those things. Like, I mean, I'm not... just because I talk about these things and I have an answer for everything, it's because I've been in those situations. I've ghosted someone and it was the worst thing I've ever, like, I really felt bad about it. And I ended up seeing the person, like, and you live like you're being haunted by the ghost because you're like, what if I see them? I have to say something. And I remember seeing the person and being like, you know, months later and being like, hey, and you have to apologize, you know, hey, that all, it sucks the way that ended. I should have said something. But you don't even know what to say. Like, who even has a script for that? So I think, like, I have ultimate empathy when it comes to all these subjects. Like, if I was to be ghosted, it can happen to me. Like, I'm not saying it can't. But if someone did it to me, I would understand that that's a problem they had, not a problem I had. And I think that's the hardest part of the whole ghosting scenario.
Right. Because it's essentially, and we've talked about this, like rejection, right? It feels so horrible to be rejected. And it feels so personal when it's not, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Most of the time it's not.
Right. And so because the rejection, just because you don't like someone doesn't mean no one's going to like that person. Doesn't mean they're not a worthy person or, you know, aren't going to find love in some way. It's just not a connection.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
I totally agree. And the problem with ghosting is you lose a lot of the power in it. And I believe in action, not inaction. I just don't, I don't believe, because so many of the people that come to my doorstep, they're like, why? And I'm like, I can't tell you the thoughts in someone else's head, but I can give you the strategies to get them to have someone do the action to show you why, you know, or show you what the next, and it's like, to me, you know, I believe if you feel you've been ghosted, then you should break up with them. And because I think the biggest fear of being ghosted is that the person can waltz back in and all of a sudden come back from the dead. And, you know, a lot of times with ghosting, because it isn't personal, it's just like, hey, it's funny to me that the phrase changes based on how you feel about the person. If you like the person, you got ghosted. If you were like, if you weren't into it, it fizzled. You know, that's what people do.
It's so true.
It's right. So true. So,
yeah, the language, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, so there's a difference.
So that's why I don't buy it from people. I go, you have more, you're more involved in this decision making than you want to believe. So if you're turned off by it, and that's another thing that we'll probably get into, is like, it's okay to be turned off. It is so hard. You know, women, and I know that sounds bad. You know, women, you know, like I don't want to like, but I'm speaking from the male perspective, and this is just something I've noticed. They prefer being confused over turned off. I'm so confused. I'm just so confused. How about you're turned off? How about you did this and you disappeared after we fucked? That turned me off. For that reason, I'm out. Turn into a Shark Tank investor. You know, like turn into like, and for that reason, I'm going to dump you. And listen, a lot of people get mad because they're like, well, I was forced into a position of dumping them and they didn't have to dump me. It's like, okay, well, what the fuck do you want at this point? Do you want to be relieved of this or not? And it's like when you dump someone, now you have put barbed wire around your house. You've added consequence. Because if they want to come back to you, now they have to say, hey, they have to apologize for the reason they were dumped. Then they have to put in effort that they got, the effort they didn't put in before that got them dumped, mm-hmm. to come back to you. There's actual consequences. So when you dump someone that ghosted you, I do believe that helps free you from, you know, like all of a sudden it's like the end of Ghost when all the ghosts, you know, the demons come flying out of it. That's an old reference. But like, you know, it's like, you know, like you are freed. Your soul has been, you know, let go and you can go to heaven.
Well, I think a lot of the times, you know, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. It's easier in a lot of ways to say, like, fuck this guy, he ghosted me. As opposed to like that hurt and I'm turned off by that to take. And I think, you know, one of the things you were saying is looking for a reason. And I think part of that in a lot of ways is, okay, if I find a reason then maybe I can change something within myself to have more control over the situation. When in reality, you don't have control over the situation, right? It just wasn't a fit, wasn't a good match. And I love what you're saying about after that, setting those boundaries. If you can acknowledge that you want to be treated a certain way, then you can say, hey, this is a turnoff for me. This doesn't work for me. And if you want to come back, this is how you're going to treat me moving forward.
Totally. I mean, this is the diet and exercise of dating advice. Like, no one wants to hear it. It's hard. It's easier to me to say than it is to enact. I've been that person. I've been on both sides of this. No one's a saint. We're all just fine people who make mistakes and we're just trying to get better. Like, I'm going to be the best guy in the world to someone and it's going to be the person that I marry. Mm-hmm. Everyone else will be like, yeah, that guy was fucking fine. You know, like every guy that you see on the altar is an asshole to somebody.
Well, right.
You know, so like,
okay,
and every woman that was, you know, the same thing. Like everybody, like there's someone looked at them and was like, ugh, it was the worst dating them. Well, they were, and then all of a sudden they become a dad and they're like a girl dad and they're the fucking saint on the universe. And it's like, let's live in the, like my dad always says it. He's like, nothing's ever as bad as it seems. Nothing's ever as good as it seems. So it's like, and I think that's like a way to like kind of look at life. And I understand the internet is full of like people, yes, girling you into a frenzy. And that's a more fun internet place to play in. But I don't know if it helps. I think vulnerability brings on vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And that's diet and exercise.
It's so funny. Okay, so I have to tell a story that I met my husband at a frat party at Penn State. Mm. I am now happily married with a child, right? But the best part was, like, probably, like, we were hooking up probably, like, 2 months. And, like, I'm, like, really into him. And, like, he's maybe mediocrely into me. I wasn't my, like, best self then, like, to be straight up. Like, I was probably, like, real difficult. I was drinking a lot. So I'm at this day
long.
You
and everyone else at
that. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm at this day long, and this girl comes up to me, and I'm wearing his high school hockey jersey because that was, like, a very cool thing to do
that
with little booty shorts, right?
The best. Ownership.
Okay. Right, yes. Okay, so I'm at this day-long party, and this girl walks up to me, and she goes, oh, are you dating, says my husband's name, and I said, yeah, and she goes, I went to high school with him, he's a fucking asshole.
No way.
And, like, I was like, oh my god, like, it was such a ballsy thing to do.
Did he dump her?
He said, yeah, I was an asshole to her. I really didn't like that girl. Like, she, like, was, like, really annoying to my friends and, like, dated my one friend and I didn't like her. And I, like, told him, like, she, like, kind of sucked. And it's so funny because, like, I'm now married to my husband, who's amazing, who's so sweet, who's a girl dad. And there are still some girl out there who thinks he's a complete asshole.
Always.
And always will.
everything he puts on Instagram is bullshit to her. and she's right, in a sense, I guess, from her perspective.
From her perspective,
like,
right?
Yeah.
He was an asshole to her.
Your experience was different. You know, yep. Like, that's like, you know, it's Yelp reviewers, you know.
And
like,
and people get frozen in time, yep, with that experience, sure, that you have of them, right? Like, and you can say that, like, when you were at that point, like, you're not the same person now that you were then. And
good
so,
Lord, no.
But
wasn't he?
Right. Yeah. And he wasn't either. And so you get frozen in time with how people remember you. It doesn't account for your growth or who you've become. And it's just like, well, he's an asshole and he's always going to be an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, she totally wanted me to know. She needed me to know.
Yeah.
She sought me out.
And it is interesting. And men walk away from the fire a lot of time, you know, like, why, you know, and that's to our detriment. That's like, listen, a lot of times because I'm in the position of speaking for a lot of men, I'm in the position of, like, you know, I can understand someone listening is like, this guy's just apologizing for assholes. There are assholes. There are worse than assholes. There are monsters. There are people that, like, should be, you know, it's horrible things happen. This, I never speak about this without acknowledging this is a slippery slope that goes down to the depths of misery that I don't ever want to have to see someone have to go through. But you do go, you know, what is, you know, most of this stuff lands in the middle. Mm-hmm. And it's you do have a moment where you go, like, you know, that woman, I feel for her. She had a very real experience, but, like, you hope she could move on. I'm sure she's sitting somewhere.
Let's
with her
hope.
Kids
we'll find
now,
her. We'll find her. Yeah.
She's still cursing your husband.
I mean, I think it's right. And it's one of those things that, like, even right now we're sitting here, we're obviously making generalizations. We're obviously talking, mm-hmm, about typically cis heteronormative couples. And so, like, mm-hmm, take what works and leave the rest. Like, you don't have to send a million, you know, emails after this of, like,
that didn't,
you know,
fit for that, me.
Right. Like, which, okay, like, yeah, which always happens, right? Like, 'cause, like, that's how this is. And, like, we're talking about this because, like, there are a million women writing in from one simple question box of, like, I want to do this better. Right. Okay. So let's go with it. Let's sure, let's move on to another question. Best way to approach a guy that I'm interested in, from male's point of view.
Say hi. Say hi.
Hi. That's men, it. You're. Listen, she's not gonna like that answer.
Hi. Hi.
We want to complicate it.
No. Men are simple. They. This is why dating apps work for men. They
for
take
men.
A face, throw it to one side or the other. Yes or no. And everyone's doing that with you in public, whether you like to hear that or not. Mm-hmm. If he's attracted to you, hi, what are you doing here? What brings you out tonight? I think, or, you know, talk about your surroundings. Do you live nearby? Men will continue the conversation with someone they're attracted to. They will keep it going. They'll keep the ball in the air. If they're attracted to you, and listen, everyone's attractive to someone. You know, everyone, I always say, like, I always say this on You Up podcast, you are someone's foot. Like, there are men masturbating to feet on the internet. There are so many men masturbating to feet that they created a little hyperlink on the corner that says feet. So there's a guy masturbating to foot. You are someone's foot. Yeah. So, like, so whatever it is. So, this one person's, you know, taste has nothing to do with your rating on a 1 to 10 scale. So if you're attracted to them, that's all that should matter. Hey, what brings you here? What's going on? A guy who's attracted to you will keep that ball in the air because that is caveman. That is survival. Would I fuck or not is what they're thinking. They're not thinking marriage. They're not thinking, they're just initial. Is the, and I know that's icky to hear, but that is the initial, this woman who said hi to me is hot, you know, to me.
Well, but I like what you're talking about in terms of, like, it's not just about them being attracted to you. Who are you attracted to, right? I think so often, mm-hmm, we want to be like, oh, do they like me? But, like, wait a second, do you even like them? Like,
and right? They forget, too, that your opinion matters,
your
too.
Your opinion matters, right? So, like, don't just worry about getting people to like you. Who do you actually like?
Yeah. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Totally. Something made you want to speak to this guy. Own that. I'm attracted to this guy. Hey, what's up? I don't think, and I listen, if you come up and you play games, the whole games thing, sometimes it feels like women are playing games against themselves. Like, this, we're so simple. It, like, look how the penis works. Up or down. That's it. Okay? The men are their penis. Like, automatic transition. It comes or it doesn't. Game over. There's no dimming the lights. There's no candles. There's no getting to a mentally good space. It is just yes or no. And it's just like, know that you're dealing with a dumb animal.
And that's what the title of this episode will
know that
be.
You're dealing with a dumb animal.
How do you want your partner to initiate sex? This is really just turning into a Jared interview, and now everyone will know your likes and opinions. So how do you want your partner to initiate sex?
So I think that it's an underrated thing. Men get vilified for having any sexual preference whatsoever. I do this on stage a lot. Sometimes I'll ask men, what position do you like? And the men get so uncomfortable because they've seen this game before. What do you like? I like doggy style. Why? Who liked that? What made you like that? There's always follow-up questions. So it's like you have to understand men are not in a position to have any sexual preference. They just have to like it all. You know, they're at a buffet and you have to and take what you get. So I'm telling you right now, it is an uncomfortable thing for men to speak honestly about sex. That's why a lot of men, and this is underrated, love when a woman has preferences. Love when a woman says, I love this. And I think that, again, you're dealing with a big dumb animal. When you say you're into something, it is so hot to a guy. So I have some strategies that can help that are workarounds. But it starts at, what do you like? If you say, you know what, I really want I get like, and I always say the easiest way to do it is like text your significant other that you had a dream. And then, hey, I had a dream last night, and explain the dream and then end it with, and I'm so fucking wet. And if you write that, guys are fixers. We play video games. We want to accomplish the level. So now you've put him in a competition with dream him. So, so I think this dream scenario is a workaround. Yeah, it's a little bit creative. I agree. Like, why should I have to do all? Well, what the fuck do you want? Do you want to be seduced or not? But it opens it up. It opens things up. Like, don't have pride in these things. Let's just open it up. Because I'm telling you, if a guy I talk about I like having a finger in the butt during a blowjob, and the reaction to that from some women is like, you know, all of a sudden they're the queen of France. Oh, my word. You know, like, it is so judgmental of a man. And
I don't know. It's 2021. Aren't we all doing butt stuff? Wait a second.
Listen, I'm saying, but we're not talking. Okay. Women can talk about it openly.
Men can.
If a guy talks about it, he's a monster.
Right.
You know, he's disgusting. Who else have you done that with? What made you think of that? There's all these questions. Guys don't do that to you. If you say, I am so into, I was watching this porn last night, and this, like, I always advise giving hand jobs instead of sex. If sex is going to make you feel bad, do a hand job. And I think the guy who would leave you after sex will leave you after a hand job as well. So I think it, like, takes out the sexual part of it. So, and it makes you feel less bad. And women are like, well, guys don't like hand jobs. They always say you can do it better yourself. Yeah. Don't hold these high school bullshit things we used to say against us. I we're idiots. I'm saying, if you literally look at a guy and go, I'm just so into hand jobs. Like, every morning I wake up and my hand's just moving in one because I just want to give hand jobs. Like, it's what gets me wet. He'll be like, oh, I that sounds so hot to me. Like, all of a sudden it's hot to him because you're into it.
But it seems like we keep getting back to pieces of fear, of like how fear-based everything is, like fear of putting ourselves out there, the fear of rejection, the fear of somebody not like taking my initiative with sex, right? Like, so much of this is fear-based that like we end up not telling the truth because we're pretty fucking
totally
scared.
And I think the one thing that has become evident to me from doing the You Up podcast and hearing from a lot of women, because that's our audience, is they think men have no emotional intelligence whatsoever. There's nothing. Does he notice? He notices everything you notice. Oh, I look him up online. He looked you up online too. He, however you feel, he's feeling in a certain way. He hasn't texted. Does he notice? Yeah, he notices. He knows he didn't text you. So this goes into the fear thing. Like, you're fearful. You know, men are fearful too. They have emotional intelligence. They're fearful. They remember being judged for bringing up a, you know, sexual thing. And it's like, this woman wants their partner to initiate. And it's like, that's okay. Hey, like saying to your guy, she also doesn't want to have to tell him to initiate because that's not that sexy. Well, then let's make it sexy. Hey, I had this wild dream last night. And I, you know, blanket, and then whatever your pleasure is, explain it in the dream. Now you get your text bubble. End it with, and I'm so fucking wet right now. I need you to do this to me.
Mm. Now he's initiating. There's a safety in that.
There's a safety. In like, I think a lot of the things that I, and listen, he either does it or he doesn't. If he doesn't, now we're having a real conversation that's not as fun, but a conversation that needs to be had.
Mm. Okay. Somebody said, are men, we're talking about fear. So
I was just
going to
say, you answered one of
somebody
our questions.
Somebody had, are men just as scared as women? It sounds like yes.
Yes.
We're all just scared all the time.
Of different things. We're all scared all the time.
Happy Halloween.
Life is a hellscape. We're all just marching towards
death. Very spooky.
Yes, great. what do you got? You pick next. You're up, buddy.
Okay, this one I really like. What do you think some expectations men may have around dating?
I think they have no expectations at all. I mean, you would hope. I think that's also like the sad part of dating a man, is like they're not thinking. There's, I'm, again, I have to go back to what I said in the beginning. This isn't business to them. you know, to some, to the, you know, listen, I'm sure your listeners, some of them have been on dates where men have expected sex for paying for a date. That's not right. That's horrible. That's not what I'm getting into. Like, that's not, I don't think we should acknowledge, we have to acknowledge that monsters exist, but I don't give advice for the monsters. Leave that guy. Don't go out with him again. Split the tab and go. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I think a lot of guys go on dates like, I think she's hot. I'd love to fuck her. Well, let's see what happens. I hope she's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think, like, and again, love to fuck her doesn't mean I deserve to fuck her. I'm saying this is the dumb animal you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I hope she's fun. She's hot to me. Let's do the date. But again, there's, you know, when the person asks are their expectations, I'm sure she's thinking of herself. She's like, well, I expect date two. If date one goes well, we're going to go on date two. And then, you know, maybe date three will happen and then we'll get physical. And it's like, he is not thinking, there is no plan. This is not a bus route.
Very in the moment.
Very in the moment. And I've had to deal with that. Like, as I get older, like, and you know, I'm 36 and I'm like, you know, you start to be like, you know, was that a mistake to go into dating that way? And I don't believe it was a mistake, but you want to be more. I think a lot of men would be better served for being more thoughtful. I would be better served for being more. Why am I going on this first date? Mm. You know, like, and I think a lot of guys don't even think that. Hot, hope she's fun, let's get drunk.
But I mean, also, okay, so like, let's talk about like the evolution of men, right? Because like, even you talk about this right now is light years ahead of what like two generations back of men were doing, which would never even sit here and talk about this stuff and like talk about what women want and deserve, right? Like, but I'm wondering also, like, do you think that men have some room to grow?
Of course we all do. Yeah, of course. Listen, I sometimes when I talk about this, you have to go like two steps back to take one step forward. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of people to apologize for, like, and also I'm speaking for a very icky, you know, a lot of people take sex out of the equation, and I'm like, then what are we talking about? You're not even acknowledging, like, but it is icky. Like, mm-hmm. It is icky to be like, to feel like, and I do understand how it's exhausting to go on these dating apps, and it's like guys just being like, come over and let's, you know, it's like, it's exhausting to just keep batting these dudes away who are just looking to be casual and then text you every now and again with no commitment. Like, I can understand why that's exhausting. And mm-hmm. these apps, now that we're like years in on the apps, like, we've experienced this again, so it feels like you're like, again, like, I listen, I said hi to a woman on a dating app.
Hi is always the opener.
There you go.
Hi. To me, hi. And she wrote back, is that all you've got?
And I'm like, I guess so.
And I'm like, and I know she's not mad at me. She's mad at the last high. The last high that she fell for. The last high that turned into her going, hi. And then him going, how was the weekend? And then her going, how was your weekend? And then him going, how was the weekend? And then her going, how was the weekend? And then what's going on this weekend? And then what's going on this weekend? And then hi again 2 months later, and hi, and then hi, and then hi, and then hi, and then by the end of it, she's like, let's go on a date. And he's like, no, I'm too busy. And it's like, what the fuck have we been doing? And then mm-hmm. I come up, hi, and she's like, is that all you fucking got? You know, like, it's like, I do get it.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, there's room to grow, but I think also the apps have made us lazy. And I also think, like, you have to be a better buyer too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you have to see those things that you didn't like and be able to leave those things. Like, you have to be able to leave the guy that was a good first date but never a good second date.
Yeah.
Or never, you know, like, you have to take some responsibility.
Yeah.
And you mm-hmm. have to get better at this at some point.
Absolutely.
And the hardest part is because, you know, to some people, the goal is to get out of being single. And that's not the guy's goal.
Right.
And I think the guy's goal is somewhat better than that. You know, to compare goals, like, the guy's goal is to have fun and meet someone great, for me. And that's because we don't have the societal pressure, I do think the clock works into this. Like,
absolutely.
You know, if you don't acknowledge, not acknowledging the, you know, the, the child clock is the same as not acknowledging sex. Like it has to be acknowledged whether you like it or not. And I don't mean that to be a mean thing. It's just, listen, you're a different basketball player in the first quarter than you are in the last 2 minutes of the game. You know, and I think a lot of women are in the last 2 minutes of the game feeling the pressure, and a lot of men just sit in the first quarter their whole lives. Like, listen, there's 70-year-old men being like, I'm just not ready for a relationship. And again, I'm bringing up ills of the world that I don't have control over. I'm just acknowledging them. It's raining out. Bring your umbrella. I'm just saying that.
Well, I think you brought up something that I think is so interesting, which is the dating app fatigue, right? Especially over COVID. Yeah. Like, I know so many people were like, I'm sitting at home, I guess I'll just keep swiping and talking to people. And then they get, you know, now we're actually seeing people in person and they're like, oh, I'm too tired, right? Like, it's the same conversation over and over again. So, like, I have a question for you that somebody did not ask, but I'm going to ask you.
Sure.
Said someone who's currently on dating apps. Like, what should people do? Because dating apps is, this is sort of just how life is now. Right? Like,
Nothing makes you more negative than being on a dating app, because like at first, the minute you download it, you're like, I would go to Long Island. and then
you're not going to Long Island.
And then like you go to Long Island, then like a year on the dating app, you're like, I will not move 7 inches from my apartment. Like, you just, the change is so wild. It makes you negative. You've seen the same, hey, what's up? How was your weekend? My advice is to take hard rights and say the thing that is so you that they'd have to like you. Like, I saw a woman on a dating app, and you have to say things that are so you that it would turn people on and off, okay? So I think, like, let's start taking some chances on here. So, like, I saw a woman, and it was a picture of her and her grandma. So I wrote to it, hey, I know this is awkward, but could you set me up with your friend?
I would answer dude, that in a you, second.
Who that wouldn't answer that?
That would fucking get so me. Funny. I would be like, hell yes, I wrote dude.
To the picture, you know, you can respond to the picture. So I wrote it to the picture of her and her grandma. You know, like, I don't know.
Did that get you a date? Did she respond to you?
That would have gone to you?
I literally just wrote this like 5 minutes
ago. Can you check?
What are you doing?
My phone.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, but for me, like, listen, I'm trying to be public. I have a public, you know, a thing out there. Like, I don't know how that, I think it made you two, it's nice that it made you two laugh, but I, you know, you get a little nervous that, like, you know, I don't want to be anyone's monster. You know, I'm someone, that guy, you know, there's someone that used to date me that's like, yeah, he's a fucking idiot. He gives dating advice. What the fuck does he know? Like, there's someone out there that's saying that about me, and that's okay. People are probably
saying the same thing about us who dated us.
Absolutely.
And we are now so couples and
relationship therapists, and they're like, they're the worst.
Yeah, like, and that kind of like sits in your head a little bit, but you know, I think hard rights are an important thing.
All right.
And I know people don't want to do that, but like, the whole point of these dating apps is to meet people that you didn't know before. So why, if you're not yourself there, where can you be?
Yeah.
You know, like 10 years in, like, what are you going
to
do?
I have a question. Yeah. This is also not on the sheet.
The listeners are going to be very pissed because we're already in.
You know what they need.
But you were mentioning earlier how, you know, when you're going on a first date or when you're first meeting someone that it's not business in the same way. At what point does it become more business where you're like, you know, it's getting a little deeper. Like, I actually,
sure,
this is something I'm into.
Well, that's why a lot of women go, I was sideswiped. You don't hear a lot of men say they were sideswiped. Like, when it happens to a man, it's like almost like a Hallmark movie. Like, it's like she slept, I walked in, and like, it's just very different. Men will end things. I always say beware vacations, beware anniversaries, beware birthdays, beware of holidays, because those are all things that make a relationship more serious and without a talk. So if you celebrate the birthday with a person, again, men are not emotionally stupid. We're just as smart as you, or, you know, probably a little dumber, but it's okay. But we have an emotional intelligence. So if we celebrate your birthday with you, we know we can't end it the next day. We know we are more serious than we were pre-birthday.
Okay.
So
it's a good signal.
That's a good gauge.
Beware. Well, that's why I say, and now people write into the podcast. They're like, well, you guessed it. Beware vacations, because vacation is like, and is like, okay, now I can walk, you know, back away from this relationship or whatever it is. Because every relationship is a relationship. I even a hookup, that's a relationship. And you get to go, oh, let me take time away from it, create space, mm-hmm. and then I won't look like as much of a asshole. Again, men are really very worried about looking like the asshole.
Vacations are big.
Yeah.
I dumped someone after a vacation once.
Well, no, but he's saying like somebody goes on vacation. It's like, oh, I'm going away for a few weeks, right? Like,
and then they never come
and
back.
And then they never...
And then I've been fizzled.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm going somewhere. Stretch it out for a little longer.
But Jen has now exposed herself that she cannot do vacations with people.
Yeah,
No. Yeah. I wasn't with them. No, I did the same thing where like I went on a vacation. I came back and I was like, I should just probably let them. But I let them know. I was like, listen, I don't think this is going to work out because I've spent this time away from you and I did not miss you at all.
Yeah.
And that's like a really mature way to put it that, again, I don't know if I'd be strong enough to do, but I it is. So I think a lot of men get to the point of like looking at the relationship at the last possible second when you've already decided, oh well, we're doing it, I'm dating someone. They're going, oh shit, we're like, it's like when a lot of people are like, we've been seeing each other for 6 months. The guy's like, 6 months? You know, like it's like, it doesn't occur to them a lot of times.
Right.
So.
Uh-huh. I have this, because I know we're coming to the end of our time, but I really want to ask this one question.
Oh, my God, please.
What's the best way for us, in parentheses, girlfriends, to help you explain your emotions better to us?
Oh. I think vague questions get you vague answers. So, you know, if I think a lot of women will go to brunch and they'll be like, how are you doing? And then, you know, the woman will go, and here's what's going on. I'm really sad lately. And they'll get into specifics. I think guys will stay vague. I'm okay. Things are good. I don't know.
And they're like, he's not opening up to me.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, why don't you ask a specific question?
Gotcha.
Get specific.
Give us an example.
Helpful.
Yeah, what would be an example?
What would make you open up? What question?
I think, again, vulnerability produces vulnerability. Last night, I felt this way when you did this. What was going through your mind? You know, so I think the way you ask it is a form of jujitsu, like you're putting them in the headlock.
It's very Jedi mind trick.
Very good.
Yeah.
Right?
I think when you say, what's going on? You know, and this happens with like defining the relationships. What are we?
Mm.
What are we is as vague as, yeah, we're just hanging. You know? I think if you reveal something, then they have to reveal something.
Okay.
And it helps to do that. Mm. I felt disappointed when you didn't call yesterday. What's happening?
Jared, we do something in the show called Calling BS, where we have somebody call BS on whatever their expertise is. So tell us, give us something you want to call some BS on.
There's a saying going around that I don't really buy into. See, like, I'm in the talk out of my ass about dating community now. I'm a comedian. I do stand up. I like to talk about dating relationships on stage. That's kind of why I do these podcasts. And I also on a podcast, like, you end up getting like, there's other people doing these things too. So I don't know who came up with this phrase, but I hear it all the time. And in my question box, I get, if he wanted to, he would, is like this big thing.
You know where I think it's from? It's he's just not that into you.
Right. Yes. I would agree with that.
Sure.
Right? Early 2000s book, he's just not that into you.
Yeah.
That was like the Bible for women.
Yes. And I think where he's not that into you left off is kind of where I pick up. And it's the, you know, if he wanted to, he would. And then those people that abide by that end up at my doorstep going, but why? You know, and to me, if he wanted to, he would. is putting yourself, it's too hard on yourself. I think the saying is too hard. It makes you someone that he wouldn't. And it's like, you, why would, I don't know, just the sound of it is just very, it's very much puts him in a power position that you have no power over. It's just, it's a saying that to me, it just doesn't taste great to me. And, you know, I just don't, to me, it's just, it doesn't help you. Like, how about if you wanted to, you should text, you know, like why, I just think you, that it puts you in a powerless position that you deserve more than. And it's like, an inaction is still an action. So I just don't buy it. I think it's, he wanted to, he would, is something that sells t-shirts and gets you a conference room that people buy tickets for, and it's bullshit. And you have more, you know, like, to me, it just puts you in this position that's just not very powerful. And I think if you're wondering why he doesn't want to, how about you text, hey, I feel a little bit off that you didn't ask me to do something lately. You know, when do you get turned off? You know, I just don't, I think it's bullshit.
All right, I like that. It. That's a great one. Jared, you did so good. Jared. I would go to Long Island for you, I think.
I mean, it's a long drive from here.
Probably not. Yeah, we're in Philly.
Where are you guys?
We're in Philly.
You're in Philly. I love Philly. Best food in the country.
Worst attitudes.
Overlooked as a food city because of the cheesesteaks.
Right.
But we are so good. Theory of,
what's that?
But we're so much more than cheesesteaks,
so
right?
much more. That's but the it's thing. Like
you
trumps.
Guys get... You get bogged down in this, like, cheesesteak mascot. It's like, right? Yo, you gotta get Whiz Wit. You have, like, the worst representative talk about your food when you have, like, some of the best food in the country because it's a little bit cheaper to open up a space there. You can be more creative. You can take more chances. You know, I always talk about that. Like, the food scene there is just really amazing. Great. So I'm a huge Philly fan. I love coming down there and doing shows.
Amazing.
It's a fun spot. You guys gotta,
okay,
you
deal.
You guys gotta come next time.
Yeah, when are you coming?
Hopefully soon.
COVID.
So
COVID, right.
I know, that damn thing. Well, no, but, oh, wait, next time.
I mean, the clubs are open.
So. Right. Hey, next time you're in town, we'll be there, my friend.
We'll be at the show.
Jared, love where it. Can people, thank you for coming on today. Where can people find you to get more of your amazing, helpful, and entertaining advice?
So I want people to go and follow two podcasts.
Okay.
Okay. Because I never shut up. I never shut the fuck up all day long. So if you love The Bachelor, you have to listen to The Bachelor podcast. I love The Bachelor. I love talking about it. I love relating it to dating issues. So if you're someone who loves dating talk, but you want it lighter and you want it done through the lens of people with abs and, you know, looking for Instagram followers, go follow The Bachelor. That's a great podcast for you. If you like talking about these dating stuff and hearing the guy's point of view, my co-host and I, Jordana Abraham, who's one of the women who started Betches, she's my co-host, and we have a podcast called the You Up Podcast that is it has really been fun to do, and it's amazing. When we started it, I was like, everyone's gonna hate me, and I'm gonna get all these emails. And it's been the opposite. It has been, I think you'll get the same response from this. People just like open, honest conversations, and I hope people enjoyed this. But the U Up podcast is a place for uncomfortable conversations to be had comfortably. And so I would say, go check out those. And I'm on Instagram at Jared Fried. I do the question box and I answer and never shut the fuck up like I'm doing right now. So
we love it.
Thank you, Jared. This was incredible.
Thank you. I'm happy you enjoyed it. Thank you. I had a great time.
If you like this episode, or if you think a friend would like this episode, feel free to send it over, share it. If you could rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts and follow on Apple Podcasts, thank you so much for tuning in. And remember to grow yourself. You gotta know yourself.